Welcome to the Cutter's Notch podcast, hosted by author Michael DeCamp and his family. Recorded in the Cutter's Notch studios, this podcast explores anything related to creativity. You'll find interviews with creative people, such as authors, artists, and performers, as well as friendly banter about any number of topics. Turn up the volume, listen, and catch up on what's happening in Cutter's Notch.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Cutter's Notch podcast. I'm your host, Michael DeCamp. I'm here with my co-host, Nancy DeCamp. My usual co-host, Angela DeCamp, is not here tonight because we are, I say tonight because we're recording in the evening. We usually record on the weekends, and we're recording midweek because we've got a special guest tonight that we needed to schedule other than our normal time. So Nancy is sitting in. She's my co-host. Hi, Nancy.
Hello.
And we're excited because tonight we have one of our good friends on here with us. She's much younger than us, but she's still our good friend, kind of almost a pseudo daughter to us.
Yes, we claim her.
We claim her. We do. And that would be Cherie Nurse. And we'll tell you all about Cherie Nurse in just a few minutes. Hi, Cherie.
Hello.
Thanks for calling in and joining us.
Yeah, so glad to be here.
It's been a while since we've had Nancy on as a co-host, too. I'm not sure the last episode you did, Nancy. Do you remember what that was?
I don't remember. I've slept since then.
Just a couple of times. So we are freshly back from a hiatus. So this will be our third episode back. We did the kind of the welcome back episode a few weeks ago. Then we did an interview with author Marilyn Crete. And then tonight we have Cherie Nurse. But before we jump into our conversation with Cherie, we want to have our creative moment of the episode. This is the time when we talk about whatever is entertaining us, I think, at the moment. So usually it's usually some sort of a book I'm reading. Sometimes I'll talk about a TV show. But it could be music. It could be a lot of other things. So we'll just take a moment and see what Nancy's creative moment of the episode is. Nancy, what's been entertaining you lately?
Well, I frequently have multiple books going at the same time, which is the case right now.
Yeah, it's funny. I'll see her reading something. I'll say, "What are you reading?" And she'll say, I'm not sure.
Yeah, that just depends on if it's on my Kindle, because you don't always see the title versus the hard book or hard copy or something. But I would say my creative thing right now isn't related to books, although there's several I could talk about. But I received, Cherie, we celebrated our anniversary this last week.
Yeah.
And for our anniversary, Mike took me to the music store and said, "Pick what you want." And I got a ukulele, and I'm teaching myself how to play the ukulele. So that's my creative moment.
Well, no, that's pretty sweet. So she actually learned to play the song Hallelujah almost immediately. Is that?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Like, all right, we're getting ready for the big time.
Now you have a book in front of you though. What's that all about?
One of the newest, I always have like fiction, nonfiction, different ones going on. I'm actually reading your book, Nozomi's Battle. Mm-hmm. So I'm reading that. I'm reading some fluff stuff. But the other book I picked up, I've been wanting to read this for a long time. So I finally bought it and it was delivered recently. And I just started. It's called Freedom's Daughters, The Unsung Heroines of the Civil Rights Movement from 1830 to 1970. So it's the first comprehensive history of the vital role that women, both black and white, played in the Civil Rights Movement.
Wow. Sweet.
It's interesting.
Have you read that, Cherie? Or have you heard of that?
I have not.
You've not heard?
Mm-mm. No.
I'll have to hear more about that.
It's not meant to demean anything like that men did, but it's also to highlight there are a lot of things that a lot of women did that, you know, they weren't on the forefront, so to speak.
They didn't get all the accolades.
They didn't get the accolades or the news coverage or that kind of thing. So,
right. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Cherie, do you have any creative thing you want to share with us before I share mine?
I mean, currently I picked up a new show on Netflix a couple days ago.
What are you watching?
I'm watching Travelers. It's about like time travelers from the future. I've made it through 2 seasons in like 3 days. So I'd say that's an accomplishment. But yeah, that's my creative thing, I guess.
That's one of the series of books that I finished reading, or I'm in the process of finishing reading. I've read 5 of the 7. I'm in the 6th one, is the Shadow and Bone series, which by Leigh Bardugo, and there's a Netflix. It just came out a couple of weeks ago.
I just watched it.
Did you watch that? Yeah. Books are always better, but I think they've done a good job. We haven't finished the season, but we've watched at least half of it.
I think we've watched 5 or 6 episodes. Yeah. We talked about Shadow and Bone, Angela and I did, on the last episode.
Did you?
Because she was talking about how you read it, and how then you said I should read it. So you got me a book, and then you got one for Andrea.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So we were talking about that last time. So yeah, it's a pretty good story. I've actually been lately consumed with British crime shows, both on Netflix and Amazon Prime, mostly on Amazon Prime. But I finished one last night called Unforgotten, and it was a 3-season thing. There's probably more seasons, but they're not all on Amazon unless I pay extra, and I'm not willing to pay extra for that. But been through several different series now, and it's been fun. But I'm reading 2 books. One is The Emperor of Nihonja, which is part of the Ranger's Apprentice series. Actually, Nancy got me on this series probably 4 or 5 years ago.
Maybe longer than that.
Longer. Because this is like number, I don't know, 10 or 11 or something in the series.
It's young adult.
It's number 10.
It's young adult, but it's almost like...
It's not even young adult. It's middle grade.
Is it?
Yeah. This is a little bit of the embarrassing thing, Sherry. When I go buy, I've got paper versions of these. And if I go to Barnes and Noble to buy it, I have to walk in the kids book section to get it. So, but yeah, they're fun. They're exciting stories. This is number 10, but it's set in a fantasy time period, kind of back when there were, you know, sword fights and kings and princesses and kingdoms.
I refer to it as kind of like a very G-rated version of Game of Thrones.
G version of Game of Thrones. But it's a lot of fun. It's kind of high adventure and very, very well written. It's written by a guy by the name of John Flanagan. And it's the Ranger's Apprentice series, and I'm on the Emperor of Nihonja. And then the other book I'm reading is When Stars Fall Down by Angela Jackson Brown. And I mentioned her. I started reading this book earlier this week. I think I've read through 2 chapters of the book so far. And I'm trying to get it finished by Sunday, because Angela Jackson Brown is going to be my next guest on the Cutter's Notch podcast. She's going to call in and
do a return appearance.
She was on here a little over a year ago, maybe a year and a half ago. She came on and talked about her book, Drinking from a Bitter Cup. But she got a big, in between now, she got a big author deal. She got a publishing deal with a major publisher, and her book, When Stars Rain Down, will be, it's released right now. It's out and available. And I purchased it on my Kindle so that I can read it in preparations for that conversation. So I'm excited about that. So Cherie, did you wonder at all why I wanted you on my podcast?
I did wonder. Still wondering.
Well, I'll tell you, it's because not only because you're very special to our family and we claimed you, but because of 2 or 3 other things. When I first got to know you, Cherie, you were a songwriter, and you had you had recorded your own song and you played it for us. I think playing the guitar. Didn't you even do a music video with that song?
I might have. I think that was back when I was in like high school, yeah, right? Like high school. That was a really early, long early. Time ago.
Yeah, really long time ago. But you're a talented singer, and you've done some songwriting. You also have your own podcast. Are you still doing the podcasting, or is that kind of on hold for now?
I was on hold during the pandemic, but I'm recording season 3 starting next week, actually.
Oh, awesome. I think I've listened to all of your episodes on your podcast.
Oh, wow.
I bet you didn't know that I listened to the, tell everybody the name of your podcast.
It's called I Think This Is Love.
And tell everybody what it's about. And then I'll sheepishly, admit that I've listened to all of it.
So my podcast is about love and all types of love. So romantic, dating, friends, family, parenting. I just kind of deep dive into relationships, and I interview someone every week that has stories to share and trying to uncover what it means to love. So that's what my show is about.
I gotta say, most of your guests, not all of them, but most of them have been pretty young, and a lot of it is related to more romantic style love and dating kind of things, which I'm so far removed from any of that it's kind of, it's intriguing to listen to what modern younger people are thinking about when it comes to that kind of thing. So have you really enjoyed the podcasting process?
I have. Yeah. I really love getting to interview people. I feel like, I don't know, Mike, if you've experienced this, but I feel like people just tell you a lot more when you're interviewing them on a podcast. I don't know. Like, I just get to ask questions I wouldn't normally get to ask people in, you know, like, everyday settings. So it's a lot of fun for me.
And under a podcast, you have license to ask those questions, right?
Right. Yeah. Like, I can't exactly like sit in a coffee shop with a stranger and be like, tell me about your first heartbreak.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if they made a movie about your life, Sheree, who would play you? Wait a minute. That's your question. I shouldn't do that. So, well, you're kind of one of my influences and inspirations for starting my own podcast. So, you know, I started listening to yours, and then we have a friend from church who's kind of, he's our producer for our podcast, Bill Whitehair. I don't know if you know Bill. Do you know Bill Whitehair, Sheree?
I probably recognize his face.
Probably, but he kind of approached me about putting together my own podcast. And so between the two of you, you've kind of inspired me to do the podcast. And I'm actually kicking around doing a third one now. I do one for the church, and I do my own, the Cutter's Notch podcast, and then I'm kicking around a third one. But we'll see if that happens or not. I don't know. But I was just impressed with your creative talent. And now I hear that you're starting a new little thing in comedy, stand-up or comedy or improv comedy or something. Oh. What's the story on that?
Yeah, so I do comedy in downtown Grand Rapids at this little comedy club. And I started taking classes there a little over a year ago. I was taking improv classes because I just wanted like a new hobby. And then that turned into sketch writing, and then that turned into me being a part of like their actual cast. So now I do sketch shows, and last month I was doing those every Friday and Saturday night. So I got to write some of those and perform in them. But yeah, now I do comedy stuff, and it's a ton of fun. I love it.
What made you interested in doing that to start out with?
I like to consider myself like a serial hobbyist. I really just, I need like novelty in my life, and I don't really have the patience to become like an expert at many things, but I do enjoy like starting new things and I don't know, trying new things. And comedy is something that like, one, I usually don't see a ton of women represented in, like it's very much like a male dominated, I think, arena. And then two, I just have never tried. I've never been into it. I never thought it was something that I would do. So it was kind of like scary for me and challenging. And I just thought like, hey, this would be fun to just try out. And if it goes really badly, I'll have some funny stories to tell later. So.
Yeah, I would probably get up and try to do a stand-up routine and then freeze. And that would be hilarious for a lot of people, but it wouldn't be very funny for me.
Stand-up is definitely, like, I did take a stand-up class. I haven't performed stand-up in front of, like, anyone other than the people that I took the class with, but that's terrifying. Like, that's way scarier to me than, like, improv or sketch comedy.
I think I could do improv. I think actually that would be a lot of fun. You know, obviously there's certain things that you gotta, there's certain techniques that you need to learn, right? So if you, you start doing, what do you think the number one rule for improv is?
It's yes, and that is the number one rule.
Yes,
yeah.
And.
Yeah. So you don't shut down the other person's suggestion, right? You build off of that other person's suggestion, correct?
Right. Yeah. If you're doing improv with people, you always, always, always want to support like your castmates. I mean, it's a team job.
Yeah. So you have always struck me as an incredibly creative young woman. Do you find that was something that came naturally to you? Was it nurtured? Where do you think that comes from?
I think it's both. I think, so my mom is an artist. So I've just since birth have been around somebody else who likes to create. And my sister is an artist as well. My older sister. So like I've had two people growing up that like were always creating something, always doing something. And I think I just like felt easy to step into something creative. Like I knew that it wasn't going to be the same as them necessarily. But I always felt permission to, and I think, yeah, that's also where it was very much like nurtured. Like I remember being in elementary school, I was in like the fifth grade, and I suddenly decided that I wanted to be a musician after High School Musical came out, like no other reason other than that, like this movie came out that apparently really inspired my like 10-year-old self. But my parents just immediately like bought me a guitar and put me in lessons, and like it was just this like instant like, oh, you want to do this? Okay, then we're doing that. And I think that really gave me the permission to kind of run with things, whether that was like music or art or sports or whatever. So I think it was mostly nurtured. Like it feels hard to say like, oh yeah, this all just came naturally. Because I think probably more than creativity, I've always had like a curiosity about different things. And I feel like that's what's driven my like creative, I don't know, process or whatever, more so than like, oh, I was just like naturally gifted at singing or naturally gifted at, you know, like whatever instrument. Cause I don't know that I necessarily was.
How many songs have you written? Is it just the one, or have you written other songs as well?
Oh no, I've written a lot of songs. Actually, I had a band. I had a whole band, and I wrote our whole set list for that. That was in grad school, so like a couple years ago. But
wow.
I would say the number of songs that I've written probably would range in like, I don't know. Like the songs, do you mean like songs that I would consider like actually playing in front of people, or are these just like any songs that could also garbage songs?
I have a great envy of people of two kinds of writers. One are people who can write songs, and related to that are people who can write poetry. I've dabbled around in poetry. I don't think much of it. Nancy says I've got a couple that are pretty good, I probably should have paid more attention in poetry class when I was in high school, but I really envy songwriters. I'm just amazed at the ability to throw together words in a way that can be musically accompanied and entertain and sometimes educate at the same time. So did you find it hard to learn to do that, or did that come fairly natural?
I don't know that songwriting ever came like naturally. I think it feels pretty natural now, but I've been writing songs since I was a child. Like again, I've been writing songs since I was in like the fifth grade. I've performed, I think, a couple of times in high school. And so most of the time my audience was like my parents and my friends. But I've been writing, like I've been doing that process and like working those kind of muscles in my brain since I was 10 years old, you know? So Like they weren't good. Like I would say that, like, I don't think any of my songs were like necessarily good by any means until I was at least in like college. And so I think, yeah, I think now because I've done that for so long and I've found a process that works for me. But also the fact that like I've been trained, like I was a music major in college, so I have a degree in that. I spent an entire semester in Nashville solely working on songwriting and working with musicians in Nashville who were like critiquing my songs and, you know, helping me pick and tear those things apart and find my process and my rhythm. So I think like now if I were to sit down and write a song, I'd feel like, oh yeah, that comes naturally. But really like that's like 15 years of work in the making.
Nancy, did you have anything you want to? No, you did. That very well answered it. Nancy, you have any kind of follow up to that that you want to ask or anything else related to that? I've could ask a couple of things, but I don't want to dominate the.
Well, you know, I was thinking about, you know, a lot of times you hear that opportunities or luck is really just preparation meeting opportunity, and I think what you say is true. So much, I think it's. The artistic, the creative effort has to be, it doesn't have to be fostered. It can come out in different ways, but when it's fostered, it has a chance to grow, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that it's cool that, sure, you had all of those examples and it seemed normal and it was fostered in you, but it also took effort and practice on your part to those things. And it sounds like the same thing even with the comedy that you've gotten into, that it was a little bit of a learning and then a practice and now you're doing it, but there's still a practice to it. Right.
Right. Yeah.
The other random thought I had was I always read that, people who learned music were usually better at math. So that was, that was as a mom, that was always my focus for my daughters. They had to take piano lessons or do some type of instrument in school. At least in their younger years, my hope was to help them with their math. I don't know that it really did, but
well, yeah, I was not good at math. I absolutely hated
so
my
we've
math
disproved
classes.
That thought, that concept, right?
I do know people who are exceptionally good at math who also happen to like play piano or some instrument. I think it honestly the connection has more to do with reading music, like sheet reading,
sure,
than it does just playing. And I did not learn piano like traditional pianists gotcha. Learn piano. Yep, so yep. I don't know.
Maybe you would have been even more terrible at math if you hadn't been into
maybe.
Music and arts. Maybe, you know, maybe that's why I'm, you know, I can kind of scuttle by in my math skills is that I toy around with the arts a little bit. So
yeah.
if you could do anything with your art right now, and money wasn't really an object, what would you like to be doing?
I think I'd like to be writing a book. That's like the one creative endeavor that I have also been doing. Like I've been writing for a really long time. But it's one that I like have never actually, I don't know, like finished or like put out into the world.
What?
Yeah. Other, I mean like, I don't know. Like I write for my own like website or my blog, but I think I'd be writing fiction. Like I've been like writing fiction by myself and for myself since I was in like middle school, but that's the thing that I've never like put out into the public.
I think you told me at one time that you were working on, or you were thinking about writing a book. So have you
I probably did.
Have you actually started the process of a specific book, or are you just still toying with the idea?
No, I actually like wrote a like 50,000 like I don't know manuscript I guess or first draft back in college, and now I have like a different story idea that I'm working on, so I have stuff but none of it's like past the first draft.
Well you should get that on, you should get it on past. What's holding you what's holding you back, time or you're just not sure?
I think it's a couple of things. I think one of them is with writing, I don't think that you get the immediate validation like you do in everything else. So like music, true. I get immediate feedback. Like when I perform or when I practice, if I'm practicing in front of someone, I get immediate feedback on, you know, like how it is. with music, people are much more like openly critical. So like, I feel like if people are reading something of mine, they're not usually going to tell me if they don't like it. But if they're hearing a song, they might be more apt to say like, oh, I like this song better, or I like what you did here. And so I think part of it is like the insecurity of like, I don't know how people would react to this in the same way that I know instantly in music or in comedy. You know, like if somebody doesn't like a joke that I tell, I'm not going to hear a laugh. Like, it's very immediate. And I think with writing, I don't get that. And so it produces a lot more of this like fear for me. But then I think the other thing is, again, this like novelty piece that I have about myself. Like, I get bored very easily. And so I think in writing, if I don't go with the momentum, and I don't like obsess over what I'm writing about, like every day for a couple of weeks, I slowly just get bored of my own idea. And then I just don't want to finish it because I'm like, this is too much work.
Gotcha.
So, yeah.
Well, you know, you're right. Yeah. In the sense that you don't get the immediate feedback, and sometimes you don't, depending on who you get to read the story, you don't get honest feedback because people are afraid to hurt your feelings. When I wrote Abandon Hope, I sent it out to 10 or 12, 12 beta readers. And then a 13th one came in, and I got really, you know, I got a lot of feedback, a lot of really positive feedback. And I felt good about it because I didn't really even know all these people. It was a lot of them were strange. Two or three were strangers. And then Nancy read it, and I've told this story before, but, Sheree, I don't know if you know this about Nancy, but she is incredibly blunt and honest.
Yes, I do feel like I know that about Nancy.
So, you know, she's like, I think it's really well written, but I don't like the story. It wasn't her kind of story. And that's true.
And to be fair, he knew that before I even read it. So it wasn't a shock to him.
Yeah, that I knew that was a possibility. And I knew she didn't read a lot of those kinds of stories, so I wasn't really shocked, but it was, I did appreciate her telling me that she thought it was really well written because she's not going to pull punches for me. But, you know, I sent one copy off to one beta reader who was a retired English teacher, and I sent a red ink pen with all these things. I said, just go to town, write down, you know, mark anything you think is off. And I thought I had it just perfect. I thought I'd really grammatically written it well. And it came back with red ink on every single page. And sometimes multiple red marks on every page. I'm like, oh my gosh, boy, there's I got a lot to learn. But it took me a long time to write that first book. I think it was probably 5 or 6 years to finish it. And then a couple of years to get it published.
And it wasn't constant. You worked on it some and then stepped away and then worked on it some and stepped away. So.
I would say, Sheree, if you've got a 50,000 word manuscript, I would encourage you to polish it up as much as you feel like you can, and then find maybe 10 or 12 people to read it, and try to make some of them people that you don't really know, so that it may be people that you believe that they'll be honest and critical. Because that's what you need at that point, right? You need people to be honest and critical so you can make it the best that it can be. But I would encourage you to do that. Find those people and let them read it because, you know, I believe in you. I think you could create something really special.
Well, thanks, Mike. I appreciate that.
Of course, I claimed you. You know, you're like... you're like one of my kids, so I believe in you. Go ahead, Nance.
I was going to say, do you... feel like because you have all of these creative interests and you do them to keep from being bored, are you naturally, and I don't mean necessarily romantically attracted, but naturally attracted or connect easy with other people who have some type of creative bent about them?
Oh no, I don't like other creatives. We're all divas. And honestly, that's just like too much energy for me. I'm like naturally really drawn to people who find me impressive because they don't have the same talent. Like I think anyone who like also does music or anyone who also does comedy or any of these things tend to like see the mediocrity in my work way more than like other people. So,
so how's it feel to be on the other end of the podcast questions?
It's honestly, like, I just love talking to people, so I feel pretty good. Like, it's a lot of fun. Normally, I'm the one who's just, like, asking and listening. I'm not really sharing so much, so it's definitely, like, a fun experience, but it's also kind of nerve-wracking because I'm like, I got to be careful with what I say.
It's going to be out there for everyone to hear.
Is there a creative, is there a creative area that you would like, I don't think I'd ever want to go there?
I feel like probably like painting and like drawing and stuff. I think that watching my mom and my sister do that my whole life, like it's just something that like I hold in very high regards, and like I know how much they've had to work to like be as good as they are. And that's just like honestly not time and effort that I'm willing to expend.
Yeah.
So while I can like admire that medium, I don't think it's one that I would necessarily pursue.
You know, Andrea has one of your sister's paintings in her house. She bought it off her website.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm a huge fan. My sister is phenomenal.
Yeah, she was like, I like this. I'm getting it. So
I want to let everybody out there know also that Cherie has inspired me to write a story. So I wrote on one of my, in my short story collection, Cutter's Notch Interludes, there's a story called Rose in the Wooden Box. And that story came from a conversation with Cherie Nurse. And if you've read the story out there in podcast land, if you've read the story, one of the characters is named Cherie, and it's named after the Cherie that we're talking to right now. Cherie, do you remember that conversation that kind of spurred that on?
I do remember that conversation, and I stand by what I said in the house, which is that I would never open a mysterious box.
Ah, but you did.
You did.
Okay,
that's right. Yeah, we're going to have to give the backstory now. So Cherie was visiting our church small group, I guess. Actually,
was she just come over here for dinner?
No. We were at the McDougal's when we had the conversation. Pretty sure.
Nope.
No?
No, we were sitting here at
your table.
We were at our house?
We were at our house. Yeah. She and her mom and another couple people. We were over. We had lunch together or whatever, and we're just talking.
I was thinking we were sitting over at Donna's dining room table. But at any rate, that's neither here nor there. The point is we were sitting around the table, and I posed a question to Cherie. And that question was, if you found yourself in a mysterious old house and you were in a room, and the only thing in the room, you were all alone in the room, and the only thing in the room was a small wooden box on a table, would you look inside? And what did you say, Cherie?
Absolutely not. I don't even know why I'm in this house in the first place.
And then we got into this big conversation about how she'd get in the house and what would take to get her in the house. And I think you even got a little creeped out by the concept, didn't you, maybe?
Yeah, it's spooky. I don't know what would possess anyone to be in some rando's house and then open a box that didn't belong to them.
So I took that conversation and I turned it into the short story known as Rose in the Wooden Box. Yeah. So the Cherie in the story isn't the one who is faced with the wooden box, but Rose is. Rose is a very curious person, and she's in this room cleaning it for this old lady who owns the house, and she was tempted to open that wooden box. So
you have to read the story to find out how.
Yeah, you have to read the story to find out how it goes. Cherie, did you read it? I know I sent it to you. Did you read it?
I have gotten into like the second page. I noticed my name and honestly, I was like, wow, I'm famous. And then I got distracted.
So, you'll have to check it. You'll have to check the rest of it out.
It's slightly different than the conversation we had that day, but same kind of concept.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and the other interesting thing is that that story plays into my third novel that I'm working on right now. So,
oh, wow.
So your little inspiration there not only inspired the short story, it's inspired some of the storyline in my third novel. So thank you very much for being that muse for me.
Well, I'm honored.
So, we followed up that conversation. I should say Nancy followed up that conversation a few months later. Nancy, you want to tell the listeners about that?
This is an area of my life where I tend to be creative. It just hit me one day, and so I went to a local kind of craft and hobby store and found a little wooden box. And
we should say that Cherie does not live close to us.
No, she does not anymore. And so I got the box and stained it slightly, and I put something on the middle inside of it. And then on the box, I think I put a sign that said, you know, open if you dare. I wrapped it up to mail it. I went to a post office that is not in the same city and zip code that I live in. So who knows? And I forget what I put on the address, and just randomly sent Sherry a wooden box.
Cherie, what'd you think when you opened that?
So first of all, the package did not have a real return address. It was like someplace somewhere. That's all it said. Like it didn't have any address.
You know, Joe Smith on Main Street. It was like some crazy house on some street. And
yeah. So it was like, okay, well, this is super sketchy. And then I opened the like outer package, and then saw the note. And my first thought was this has to be a joke. This has got to be a joke. And I thought of you all actually because of that conversation. And then it just kind of turned into a game for me. And I was like, well, if I open it, then I lose. But if I don't open it, then I don't get to know what's in this. And I think that like there was this like other kind of option C where I was like, or this could actually be like a serial killer. And this is a terrifying moment. And then it was a gift card, and I was very happy. So
you did open it.
It was great.
Yeah.
So I did open it. The curiosity got the best of me.
It was too fun. Your mom, she was in on it. She knew what I was doing because, you know, I had to get your address. Where do I send this to? And so I got it from her. And so she was just dying. And I think as soon as you got it and texted her, she screenshotted the text and sent it to me. It was like, look.
I will say I did let it sit on my desk for a good like 3 or 4 hours. Yeah. Like, I was determined to not open it.
I think I saw that screenshot, and I think you said something about, if this is from Mike DeCamp, I swear to God.
Yeah, I did.
Oh, well, you know, Nancy's pretty good at these practical joke kind of things. So she's done some pretty creative ones. She had a partner one time where she used to work that he was leaving the firm, and she went in the middle of the night and aluminum foiled everything in his office.
Oh my goodness.
Everything, like the coffee mug on the credenza and every coin that was inside the coffee mug.
Wow.
And everything on his desk, like everything, right?
Everything, business cards, blotter, pens,
and
chair.
When he finally took all the aluminum foil off, he wrapped it all together into one giant ball. And the ball of aluminum foil was like a foot and a half in diameter. It's big. It's a big hunk of aluminum. So she likes to do these kinds of things. She's kind of into that. So yeah, you never know what she might have up her sleeve next. So Cherie, where can people find your creative stuff that's out there in the world for people to enjoy? Where can people find it?
So there are a few different avenues. My podcast is called I Think This Is Love. You can find that on, you know, anywhere you can normally find podcasts, so Spotify, Apple. And then my blog is on my website, which is just www.sharenurse.com. So SHARENURSE.com. And then my music, I don't have really recorded, but sometimes I do like post snippets on my Instagram, which is also just Sharenurse. And I do have a YouTube channel. Sometimes I post like goofy videos there, which is, I think, also Cherie Nurse. Basically, anytime you just type my name and you'll probably find myself.
just type in Cherie Nurse and you'll find all kinds of options. Well, how about the improv stuff? If people are in Michigan, where can they go?
Are you going to continue to do that? Or?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If people want to see my comedy and you're in Michigan, go to the Comedy Project in Grand Rapids. Our website has tickets to our shows. So yeah. And I usually post on social media, like what things I'm in or if I have shows coming up. Cause there's usually a ton going on there. So I'm not in like everything that's on the website or at the venue, but when I do have shows there, I usually post about them.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, one of the last things that we do with each of our guests, Cherie, I don't know if you've listened to any of the Cutter's Notch episodes, but one of the last things we do is a random question. And I have a box here. It's a Tupperware style box that's got, I think, 16 questions. Eight of them have been in there from the start. I added eight more recently because Angela was giving me a hard time. And then also we've got a box. Angela also got me a gift of, it's a game. It's called the Hygge game or Higgy game, H-Y-G-G-E, which is Crazy Conversations in Pleasant Company. So it's a whole box of random questions. So normally when we're interviewing people in person, we have someone reach into the box and pull out a question. So I'm going to give you an option, Cherie. You can either have Nancy pull a random question out of the random question box, or she can pull a random question out of the game box. But we're going to pose a random question to you. What would be your preference?
Nancy, I think you should surprise me.
So it's up to you, Nancy. You can randomly surprise her. What would you like to do? She's reaching in.
I'm reaching into the game box and randomly pulling a question out.
The thing with this game box is sometimes there are questions that really just don't fit. So,
okay. If you could pass one law that everyone would have to follow, what would it be?
One law that everyone would have to follow. I'd probably put into effect a national holiday celebrating me, and everybody would have to celebrate me and do things.
What kind of things would they have to do?
They would have to laugh a lot. So maybe go to a comedy show or like do some stand up. There would definitely have to be some like water activities going on, like swimming, basically just like my dream birthday party is what I'm thinking of. But like everyone would celebrate.
Everybody in the country would celebrate
Cherie Nurse. And what type of celebratory food and drink would you have?
Definitely breakfast, like all day breakfast, pancakes, eggs, bacon, all the goods. That is like the custom like food.
Chocolate gravy. We'd have to have chocolate gravy to celebrate it because I love chocolate gravy. Have you had chocolate gravy, Cherie? Have you ever had
chocolate gravy?
That doesn't even sound like a real thing to me.
Oh, it is. It is. It's a Tennessee thing and it's a Southern thing. One of these days you'll have to try it. It's really, really good. Okay, go ahead. Sorry, I interrupted you. I had to get
I mean, this is not a real holiday, so it's fine. but yeah, breakfast all day, you know, it's like some summer fun, hanging out with some friends, and then like a solid 2 hours where everyone just goes and spends that time absolutely by themselves. So it's like an odd holiday where you're like with people all day, but then you go and you be by yourself. So that's what I love to do. Yeah. I think that's how I would use my law. You know, like I don't really care about making the world a better place. I just want people to celebrate me.
That works. National Cherie Nurse Day. Nancy has.
I feel like I should have picked something like, "Oh, you should help your neighbors," but that just felt like a cop out. So,
Nancy has a holiday on her. They celebrate her birthday every year. People do.
Yeah, my birthday's on Christmas, Cherie.
I do remember that.
Yeah,
yeah.
So,
well, Nancy, what law would you pass?
Probably a law that everybody cleans up after me.
Ooh, that's a good one.
No matter where I go, home, work, vacation, people just clean up after me.
Wow.
How about you, Mike?
I'm going to make a law that I never have to clean up after Nancy.
I feel like questions like these are how dictators are born. Like, I'm just thinking of how great it would be to enact a law that were like solely around the benefit of my personal life.
Yeah. Well, I if you had gone serious with the answer, I would have gone serious too. But since you went fun, I had to stay fun.
mandatory dance breaks every afternoon at work.
That's a good one. I would have done something like, I think I would make it mandatory that everyone has to be kind. But
I think it's so hard for me to live my life, Mike.
Well, because then you'd have to be kind. But so would I. I would have to be kind as well. And sometimes it's a struggle. It's a struggle for all of us from time to time. So, well, Sheree, that was a cool, you know, I'm going to look for the National Sheree Nurse Day. Now I'm going to have to think what you don't have to tell me the year, but what's your birthday?
It is July 24th, the greatest day.
All right. July 24th will be National Sheree Nurse Day for us from now on.
Amazing. So, you got to get into some shenanigans. Perfect kind of day to pull pranks, Nancy.
All right. So, I'll start working on that now.
Watch out, Sheree, because it'll probably be targeted at you. Well, thank you very much for joining us. I very much enjoyed having you on, and this is exactly why I wanted to have you on the podcast. And I wanted to put the word out about your podcast and also about your comedy work and all the other things that you do creatively. Because pay attention, folks out there. Pay attention to the name of Sheree Nurse, because one day there really will be a National Sheree Nurse Day or something. So.
Can happen.
It can happen. And who knows, maybe she'll get that novel out there, and she'll become famous for writing as well. So Sheree, thanks for
having me.
You're very welcome. You're welcome. I very much enjoyed having you on. So folks out there, thanks for joining us on this episode of the Cutter's Notch podcast. And we will catch you next time.
Cutter's Notch podcast is available through most podcast listing providers. New episodes drop approximately twice a month. You can email Michael at authormichaeldecamp@gmail.com. Michael DeCamp is the author of two novels, Abandoned Hope, Cutter's Notch Book 1, and Nozomi's Battle, Cutter's Notch Book 2. A collection of short stories entitled Cutter's Notch Interludes, and one nonfiction Christian devotional book entitled Loving Out Loud, Learning to Love in a Hate-Filled World. All books can be found on Amazon or ordered from your local bookseller. Please join us again on the next episode of the Cutter's Notch podcast.